Hello, my name is Karen Guglielmo, an editor of SearchCIO.com, and I'd like to welcome you to today's expert podcast series on service-oriented architecture, or SOA, trends. I'm joined today by Dana Gardner, President and Principal Analyst for InterArbor Solutions, LLC. Dana is a leading identifier of software productivity trends and new IT business value opportunities. He tracks and analyzes a critical set of enterprise software technologies and business development issues, including service-oriented architecture, web services, integration, application development tools, and application delivery optimization techniques. Prior to starting up InterArbor Solutions, Dana was a senior analyst in the Application, Infrastructure, and Software Platforms Decision Service at Yankee Group Research Incorporated, where he advised clients on enterprise software technologies, software trends and developments, and application development and deployment strategies. He has also been designated a top industry influencer for IT industry analysts by Technology Marketing Magazine in both 2001 and 2002. He helped earn a Best Trade Tabloid Maggie Award for Western Publications Association in 1998 and was a top computer journalist for electronic publications awarded by Marketing Computers in 1996. Welcome, Dana.
Hey, it's great to be here, Karen.
Great. As I mentioned earlier, we're here today to talk about SOA trends. Today's podcast presentation will be broken into three segments, each 10 to 15 minutes in length, and a series of podcasts will include discussions on vendor market consolidation, the role of the SOA architect, and the total architecture. Today's first presentation is on vendor market consolidation. In this first podcast, I'll ask Dana a number of questions related to the current SOA vendor market and consolidation. Dana will also answer some questions on open source components and virtualization. So, Dana, let's get started. My first question to kick things off is, do CIOs have more or less choices in the SOA vendor market today?
Well, I think they have a lot of choices. In fact, choice is the reason why services-oriented architecture is so prominent. Many CIOs and enterprises have been grappling with great heterogeneity within their organizations, and they need to be more flexible with how they deal with resources, be it data, be it logic, be it web services, be it interactions with supply chains or an extended enterprise with partners. So it's the whole issue of choice that has led to a need for a services-oriented architecture method. That said, how you put a SOA together has varied greatly, and these methodologies are still very much works in progress. We've had several instances where large vendors have tried to put together more of a soup-to-nuts approach to SOA support and infrastructure. We've also seen in the past several years many companies sprout up or adapt themselves to fit a best-of-breed approach to SOA, that is to say, to focus on a specific component or support infrastructure aspect. And we've also seen quite a bit of consolidation, that is to say, companies buying up others. We've also seen consolidation in some of the other aspects of IT, such as integration and application services and delivery. Most notably would be, of course, the BDA acquisition by Oracle. So I think that the choices are still many, and probably the biggest choice for CIOs is to look at their own internal existing infrastructure, their own skill set, the frameworks and tool environments that they're familiar with and have cobbled together their own competencies, and to try to project where they want to go from where they are. I think that any approach to SOA buying on a vendor basis has to start with what's in place and where you want to go. Now, if you happen to be an IBM shop and you're almost entirely built with IBM tools and platforms and support and integration, well, then IBM would probably be the logical place for you to go for your SOA growth opportunities. If you're a very heterogeneity-oriented organization, you've got lots of different parts, vendors, you haven't really solidified around a particular unified approach, well, then you might start looking at some open source. You might probably already have quite a bit of open source in place. So the issue of choice is still very robust. This is by no means a closed market. No one has locked it up. And the choices are more part and parcel with what SOA is. I don't expect them to go away.
So in general, would you say the choices obviously are better, probably, than they have been in the past?
Well, what we might think about is not what level of choice in terms of quantity, but of quality. And I think that the complexity is coming down. One of the things that's been a roadblock to SOA adoption has been how complex it is, and how difficult it is to move from an existing environment of a siloed, monolithic, perhaps a proprietary application environment into something that's more flexible, that can be applied to a business process value, where you can start to reuse and scale up on resources that cut your costs while at the same time give you flexibility and backwards and forwards compatibility in terms of how your architecture will evolve. So what I think we have seen in the past several years has been movement towards less complexity, and so it's the quality of choice, which is now a bit more simple, straightforward, a bit more consensus around what parts that you need to put together a service-oriented architecture. The choices are still many, but they're not quite as difficult or complex as they were.
And you did mention consolidation briefly. How would you say that's affected the market, positively, negatively?
I think it's been positive because the vendors have indicated that this is something that they're betting their futures on. When Software AG buys WebMethods, which it bought Klaviyo, these are not small incremental steps. This is a real large future direction strategic activity. We've seen a lot of acquisitions by Oracle, by IBM, by Microsoft. And SOA is not, I think, something that we should look at as a flash in the pan, but it's really a large, long-term, here-to-stay shift in the computing paradigm, to get us into cliches a bit. And so when you see big vendors make large investments in trying to buy, build, or partner to create a strong SOA value, that to me says that the market has embraced and adopted SOA. The vendors see that and recognize it. It's here to stay.
That's a good point. And you mentioned open source briefly, I know, earlier. How would you say open source has shaped the SOA market?
Open source has been interesting because in many respects in the past, open source projects and code activities and communities resulted from an alternative to an existing proprietary approach. But that's the way we've actually seen open source projects emerge at the very beginning, where it's not an alternative to an existing proprietary solution. It's actually pushing the envelope of what SOA is and should be based on a community development activity, based around sharing of code, around licensing code in an open source fashion. And that's the, I think, an indication that the open source is a strong value on its own as an approach to development and deployment, but also is undergirds the notion that SOA is about embrace of existing widespread choice and options. And so it makes sense economically and conceptually that you would try to create SOA software and infrastructure with the inclusion of as many aspects of what the market has installed as possible. And the way to do that economically is to create open source sharing, collaboration. People can take certain parts of a project, run with it on their own, and then share that back into the community. Because we're talking about connections and modules and interactions of great complexity across tremendous diversity, remember, we have to look at global markets as well. What's been popular in North America might not have been the way things were done in Asia over the last 10 years, or the Middle East, or Europe, or South America. And so there are going to be great variability and permutations about how SOA will, in effect, develop. Open source community development has proven very effective at allowing for SOA to be not just one size fits all, but basically the wisdom of the crowd when it comes to how many different ways to try to solve a problem. So we've seen some very interesting work within the Apache Foundation. Of course, the Eclipse Foundation has been very popular on the tools and development side. We just recently saw Red Hat announce more emphasis on SOA within its open source and commercial open source options and products. And there have been some very auspicious ESP projects, things like Fuse at Iona that they help support, and MuleSource is quite popular. So we're seeing some fundamental aspects of SOA and open source go hand in hand.
Got it. Well, that's actually all the questions we have time for today in this segment. Any last-minute comments on today's topic you'd like to leave the audience with?
Well, I think that SOA, as we said, is here to stay, that the options should be becoming less complex, but it's important to look at what you have and perhaps start thinking about the ways in which you want to shift your culture and your organization to not only think about SOA as an IT function, but it's really more about transformation of how you do your business.
Okay, and on that note, that concludes our first podcast in the SOA Trend series. Check out our webcast and podcast section on searchcio.com for direct links to the second and third installment of this SOA series. Thanks again to Dana Gardner for speaking with us today, and thank you all for listening. Have a great day.